And another hot, hot topic is, of course, Preston Market and the future of Preston Market. And we've got Connor Flynn in here to talk to us about it. G'day, Connor. How
good,
are you?
Good for a Saturday morning, Annie. How are you?
Yes, it was raining. How dare it?
It was a struggle to get from Reservoir this morning to the studio, but here we are.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the wonderful Victorian government has sent out a release, 7th of August, very recent. Melbourne's beloved Preston Market will be protected for years to come thanks to new planning controls introduced by the Andrews Labor government to preserve the market's rich heritage while boosting housing choice. Sounds good.
If a song by the Church could sum up this recent state of events, it's almost with you. Like, I'm almost with you. I can, you know, is this the taste of victory? Well, not quite. I mean, Sonia Kilkenny has been sitting on this since April. She said that the government would protect the Preston Market. But as one of our campaign spokespersons, Con Lambros, said to The Age during the week, the devil is in the detail. What the government has proposed is really a compromise solution of where they'll ensure the protection of the market for its cultural and heritage significance, but promising the retention of a substantial part of the market. So it's not the full market, but also they're allowing that rather than allow Salter to have 2,200 apartments, it's split in half. So they're allowing any potential development to be 1,000 apartments.
Yeah, 1,000 apartments, and which sounds like a massive amount. They must be very skinny and very small. Yeah, all these dog boxes, we, you know, they're people's joy and dream. But I notice also that there's sneaking into their rhetoric is this new agenda-setting notion that community groups that are dissenting are actually trying to undermine housing.
You know, our campaign has never been opposed to development of the market, so long as the market remains where it is. But in our discussions and consultation meetings and meetings with government, we've always stressed that if there's going to be development around Preston Market, then there has to be a heavy emphasis on public housing, social housing. But as we know, the Andrews government claims to be a friend of public housing tenants, but the big build is grossly inadequate, and you only have to look to Barak Beacon of whether forcibly evicting public housing tenants. So we don't buy into the notion that our campaign is opposed to housing. If anything, we're friends of public housing, not opponents of it.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because we went to Parliament and listened to them, and they actually said in Parliament that they have been building public housing, which is a lie.
What was the reports about? Only a gross total of 74 units have been built since the big build has commenced under this government, and you only have to look at the public housing estates. I know the former Walker Street estate is no longer there. There's redevelopment in inverted commas in Clifton Hill, in Mooney Ponds, etc. So it's a furphy.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's interesting, isn't it? If you just keep saying it often enough. And the other thing that's interesting in this press release is this a precinct-specific development plan overlay and heritage overlay, endless amounts of overlay, activity centre zone, development contribution plan overlay, environment audit overlay, a heritage overlay and a parking overlay. Competing interests. What does that all mean?
I'm still trying to figure it out myself, but I think, if anything, the government's trying to claim that they're going to protect the Preston Market. But if anything, we must remember that they've been forced into this position. During the very brutal lockdowns that all of us in this city and this state endured in 2021, the government, with the Victorian Planning Authority, commenced hearings about the proposed redevelopment of the Preston Market site. They were expecting that they would face no opposition whatsoever. More than 386 submissions were made, of which 380 were opposed to this development. But coupled with developments that occurred, the development of our community campaign, with mass meetings, with our entry into electoral space where the Labor Party almost lost the seat of Preston for the first time, they have been forced into a position of compromise. And yes, so they're trying to present to the public that, oh, we really care about this. We really care about the market, even though the Preston Market has always been a beacon of development for successive governments. And Salter, the private owners of the market, have always known that since they purchased the site in 2004 for about what would have been $36 million at the time.
Yeah, yeah. So what you're saying is that it's they've just reassessed their language so that they can get the same outcome that they've always wanted.
Mm. I mean, they're more than happy to facilitate Salta to still profiteer off the site. However, they've put a limitation on how much they could possibly make, which, you know, Salta have claimed in the press this week that, oh, we weren't consulted by the government. Mate, you've known about this since April, so we don't buy into that.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So this is just a tactic, another tactic. Mm. And so they're still keeping an eye on the ball. Now, it could be that they're, as you were saying, in all good negotiations, you go in asking for more than you expect to get. So if they were saying they were after 2,000, maybe they were really only ever after 1,000.
Who knows? I mean, you've got to remind, people must remember that when Salta first put development on the table in what, 2016, 2017, they wanted to build up in upwards of 30 stories. And then you had the first iterations of campaigns to save the Preston market. There were mass rallies in 2017. That forced then Planning Minister Richard Wynne to implement, you know, limitations on how much development could occur at the site. And that shaved it off by from 29 stories to 14. And now you've seen the gradual reduction once again over that time frame.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because people have kept their eye on the ball, and it's important. The thing about Preston Market points to something about quality of life and richness of social fabric, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's not only is it an economic hub, but it's also a cultural hub. It's a social hub. It is really the beating heart of not only Preston and the northern suburbs, but of a city. And there's not many communal spaces like that in Melbourne. And it's beggars belief that you think of Queen Victoria Market, you think of South Melbourne Market, you think of Dandenong Market. The Preston Market is the only market of its nature that's actually privately owned. And when you tell people on the street about it, people are shocked and appalled.
Ah, yes, right. And so it's really, what's going on is that Melbourne can just be a whole lot of corridors of very tall buildings and the closed faces of a whole lot of apartment buildings if it doesn't have places like Preston Market.
Absolutely. And as you and I have discussed over the years, is that Melbourne could have been a very different place had it not been for the like of progressive trade unions like the BLF and also community groups who actually stood up and opposed, you know, people back in the 70s wanted to knock down Queen Victoria Market. They wanted to got rid of the Carlton Baths. They wanted to destroy green open space. And we know the importance of when the community does organise, it can actually have a say over how our communities are organised and in whose interests. Is it for people rather than for profit?
Yeah, it brings up this particular discussion, which is that it gives people a fright to realise that they actually have a right to say what world they live in.
There's a right to the city and there's a right to urban space. And I think that the Preston Market campaign, our campaign, is at the forefront of that very battle. And there's a reason why people are so energised by our campaign. They can see that it's more than just a market. They can see it's a battle for the city itself.
So if we go back to what this government does, and I mean, it's a particular government. It's been in for probably longer than it should be because you need to move the deck chairs or people get a bit too comfortable, in my view. But one of the things, and a bit lazy, so they want something in particular and they're going to consult, right? And it's becoming clearer and clearer over areas of not just Preston Market, but with particular other issues, that the consultation, you brought up Barak Beacon. That consultation was not a genuine consultation. They just called it it. And when people rang up to say, you said I could be on this board, the people that they rang up said, what board? What are you talking about? You know, they didn't even know the lie that was told.
The official ways and means in which politicians encourage citizens to participate in democracy, they're inherently undemocratic. You think of like developers' courts like VCAT, for example. Like the official ways and means are inherently undemocratic. Like our campaign actively participated in these consultative hearings during what would have been 2021, 2022. And they almost immediately said that, no, we're going to allow development to occur. And then, of course, the people, a light bulb moment occurs and say, I thought these institutions went to work for us. Absolutely, they don't. And that's why our campaign realized that in order to exert maximum political pressure, we actually had to organize the community. We had to go out there, petition for our views, which was for the state government to publicly acquire the Preston Market, to oppose the demolition of the Preston Market. And then we had rallies in Preston. We also actively supported Gaetano Greco's campaign, who ran on an explicitly pro-Preston Market ticket, which, as we all know, almost was that close to winning the seat of Preston at the 2022 state election. So our campaign is actively aware of how power operates in the society.
Yeah, so what do you reckon was the most important thing that you guys have done to further your campaign?
I think that after last November's result, we recognised the importance of applying political pressure. So we recognised that the newly elected MP, he said during the election campaign, he recognised Preston Market was a big issue on his Facebook page, but everyone recognised it, mate. You've been parachuted in. You don't know what you're talking about. So he was low-hanging fruit. Within days of our action, he capitulated. And then we recognised as well that the planning minister, initially we tried to present a letter, tens of thousands strong. She refused to meet with us multiple times. We held a mass meeting in May where Preston Town Hall was bursting at the seams onto Cramer Street. And there was a huge appetite that if the government refused to listen to us, that we would actively engage in mass community action, up to including community pickets, to actually defend the Preston Market. And once again, that applied. The government finally recognised, okay, this is a community not to be messed with. And that's where you've seen the government come out.
So you established it as an issue.
Absolutely.
Right, okay. And before that, they were just doing deferring tactics so that people would get bored and think that power is power and you're just peons and piss off.
Absolutely.
Lots of P words there.
Unless we were Sam Tarasio, for example, who is the 44th richest man in his country, perhaps they would have taken us seriously and opened the door to us. But we're not a billionaire.
Yeah, so you're getting quite close. Today there's going to be a arms around Preston Market at 11 a.m. Saturday. So the group isn't deferred by this press release saying that the market's future is in the bag.
No, the battle continues. As we said before, the devil is in the detail. Salter is still threatening to close down the market. They put that threat out there a few months ago saying that if we don't get our way, we will close down the market in January 2024. However, we suspect that that's a stalling tactic by them to maximise the best possible compromise solution from the planning minister. But we want to use this event to reaffirm that there is a lot of love and support for the Preston Market. And I implore every listener who's tuning into 3CR today that if you support Melbourne's beloved Preston Market, that's something I can agree with the planning minister on. Come down to Preston Station at 11 o'clock this morning. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring a banner, you know, and once it's done,
bring your lunch.
Well, you can buy your lunch. Lunch at Preston Market. I mean, I'm going to get myself a double espresso and a Borek from Tammy's today before Preston plays the Giants at Preston City Oval. Candy Ants.
Thanks for coming in and talking to us.
Always a pleasure, Annie.